It's faded on down. Faded on down. The time is 6:01. You are listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you very much to Giles for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. But get that out of the way, because the Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after I push this. I do this. Neil Young.
I think I'd like to go back home and take it easy. There's a woman that I like.
All right, let's do this for realsies this time. The time is 6:04 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial, online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667.
Nailed it.
Halfway through it, that was my number. That's 472-KOOP. You may also tweet at us. We are at Mascot Wedding. If you tweet it, I will see it because I got it open right now. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else. David, what did we just hear?
We just heard Neil Young from the album Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. That was the title cut, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. And I played that because happy birthday, Neil Young. You are 66 years old today. And yeah, had a fun old time listening to Neil Young today. And that's it. That's all I did because I sat in the co-op office for 4 hours waiting for my show to start.
Wait, really? You did?
I did.
Why?
Well, because... Here, let's get into this for a second. We normally, you and I and some other friends of ours, have a meeting scheduled on Saturdays.
Correct.
And I have recently moved to a place that is not terribly convenient bus-wise. So normally on Saturdays, I had planned to, after our meeting is done, just head straight to co-op and just hang out. You know, I'm fine with that. But our meeting got canceled today, and I had missed the bus to get back home. So I just thought, you know what? I'll just head to co-op and take a nice long nap. So it wasn't that bad.
Where did you nap?
I napped in that...
Studio 2?
No.
That's where Art Baker likes to nap.
Yeah. He likes to... I guess he uses some weird like industrial like window cleaner because it like fogs up the windows all the time.
Yeah, it smells like he's cooking something spicy in there.
Yeah, exactly. But it hurts the nostrils. It's very weird.
By the way, we've already been tweeted at.
Oh, is that right?
Bohonkus13 says, took your advice and got some angel dust. For the record, ladies and gentlemen, we've never given him that advice.
I don't think we've even accidentally given that. Oh, maybe we did.
He said, it really does make you feel like you could fly, but I don't have roof access at my work, so I, next tweet, couldn't try that, but that's not the weird part. The weird part is that when you talked, it sounded like music. Bohonkus, you are on tweet suspension. But until your tweets start making sense, we are going to stop reading them.
But tune into the Bohonkus show every Saturday night on Twitter.
Bohonkus, we do appreciate the tweets, though. His name is Eric.
Yes, thank,
thank you
very
for
much,
listening, Eric. Even though you are nutty.
You're kind of a creep in that fun way, in that Dickensian way, where everybody's a creep. Hi, how are you, Mac?
I'm pretty good. We weren't here last week.
No, we were not.
We had the week off because we had to take care of some business.
That is correct.
And that business was located at Fun 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 Fest.
Yes.
Wait, fun Fun Fun. Yeah, okay.
You got them all.
I'm just checking. Make sure to touch them all.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah. That's the thing that stinks about that name is that you can't avoid it.
I didn't get to see Ryan Gosling, but I didn't try to see Ryan Gosling.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the festival, I felt like I should have tried to see Ryan Gosling.
Right, yeah. I saw him a couple times, but like, you know, he was on stage doing stuff, and I was in the crowd doing stuff. It wasn't like...
Oh, I never even saw him on stage.
Oh, yeah. I saw him a couple times.
But I think I was even seeing shows he was at, and like, didn't even think, like, oh, where's Gosling?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's weird. What he appeared to be doing, because nobody really knows what he was doing, but he was, you know, hanging out with Terrence Malick shooting footage.
Oh, well, when Christian Bale was at ACL, they were shooting the exact same kind of footage.
Right.
It seemed where it was like, you have the celebrity, or actor, excuse me, and they are on stage, and Terrence Malick is filming them watching music.
Uh-huh.
And then Ryan Gosling came to Fun, Fun, Fun. I'm guessing it's a story of Transmission Entertainment and C3.
I think exactly.
I think it's what it is.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is going to be, but I imagine it is going to be some of the most unusable footage because there's still like, because the way Fun 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 is set up, they've got one band playing on one side of the stage while they're setting up or, you know, loading out the other side of the stage for the other band.
Pretty clever, if you ask me.
I think it's great. So they were shooting some Gosling footage on one on the side of the stage that wasn't being used while the band was playing on the other side of the stage. That, unless I'm not super smart about microphone technology, but I imagine you're going to pick up a fair amount of that. Like, I don't know if that's what they want, or I don't know what's going on.
Stop right there, David. You aren't that smart when it comes to microphone
fair
technology.
Fair enough.
So why don't you just shut your big yapper? Hey, Adam Sandler, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. Shabadoo.
Star of Jack and Jill, now at theaters.
I go see a movie. I'm in it with myself.
It's actually pretty good. I've never heard your Sandler.
Anyone could do a Sandler.
I can't do a Sandler.
Yeah, you can.
Come see the Jack and Jill. See, that was my Sandler. That's horrible.
That's a good word. Sandler's Army.
Did you see the Jack and Jill Twitter handle?
No.
It's like it's promoting the movie.
Of course it is.
But it's such a feeble attempt at promoting this seemingly horrible movie that no one's really sure if it's a joke or not. Like, hey guys, don't forget to go see Jack and Jill this weekend. Like, that could be construed as a joke to a lot of people. It's silly, but it's funny.
That's awful. If your movie reached a level like, friend of the show and occasional co-host Andrew Rosas was joking around. We're all in a sketch comedy troupe called Stag. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have an anecdote about that in a second.
Oh.
Which, by the way, if our voices sound an octave deeper, yeah, it's because we did some karaoke last night.
Yes.
And blew the doors off the place.
My goodness, we had some fun.
Yes. They need to clean a lot of places in there. What? That's too vague and gross.
No.
I mean, they were bouncing off the walls.
Right, exactly. That's what that meant.
We put a little toot in our scoot, you know what I mean?
I feel like that expression doesn't mean what you think it does.
I think I just meant that it was like high energy.
Okay. Because it sounded like a thinly veiled drug reference.
What? No, I don't do that stuff.
Okay, well.
I do not. Kids, do not. What was I talking about?
We were talking about Andrew Rosas.
Oh, yeah. So Andrew Rosas goes, hey guys, I got us all tickets to opening night of Harold and Kumar Christmas 3D or whatever it's called. And I was like, what? Awesome. He's like, I'm joking. And I was like, oh, that sounded like a fun activity for all of us to do.
Exactly. It's nice to hang out with friends.
Yeah.
There's
some funny people. Brett Gelman's in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not like, and actually that happened today. I don't know if you heard from a friend of the show, Lance Gilstrap.
Yes.
Who sent a text. It was like, hey, anyone want to go see, I'm not going to get it right, Marcy May Madeline or whatever?
Yeah, that, Marcy Mary May Marlene or something.
Something like that.
That new John Hawks movie?
That Elizabeth Olsen movie.
Well.
Well, she's the breakout star.
Okay, but John Hawks, he's an Austin bro.
I'm not. I understand. He's great.
I don't care whose name is first, David. You give Austin people respect.
Winter's Bones, John Hawks.
There it is. Deadwood.
Yeah, that's right.
Hashtag it.
But I'm looking forward to seeing that movie, and I happen to like my friends a lot. But that seems like a weird one to invite friends to. Like, hey guys, let's all gather around to see this taut mysterious thriller. I don't know. It sat weird with me.
Gonna go see Into the Void tonight, bros. Who wants in? Oh Lord.
Oh man, yeah, you can't watch that alone though. So maybe that is a group viewing.
So Stag, our little sketch comedy group, has got a thing going on right now. And part of that thing, which if you want more information about it, you can find it on the internet. I don't want to self-serve.
We're around. You know us.
Long story short, one of the things we're doing involves a bunch of Oreo cookies in a certain form. I don't want to give anything away. And so these Oreo cookies, they're a week old at this point, but they're in my car right now.
Okay.
And every time I enter my car, I enter and I go, oh my God, what smells like delicious cookies? Because there's a lot of them.
Yes.
And it really does like fill my car with delicious cookie smell. And so for like 1 to 2 seconds, I am so happy. I'm like, oh, cookies. Which I don't know why I'm happy. It's not like I'm going to find food in my car and ever be like, what? I forgot about this birthday cake.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's going to be in the best condition too. Yeah.
Oh man, driving around really made those flavors explode. It's coming out now. Also, then after the, excuse me, we'll cut out that chunk. Oh boy, leave some space. After the 2 seconds is over, I realize that it's the Oreo smelling and that they're a week and a half old.
Yes.
and therefore probably still as fresh. Ah, zing. Take that, Nabisco.
Take that.
I'm crushing it today.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say about that, but you are crushing it today.
I did. I did see a couple celebrities, though.
Oh, yeah?
At a fun fest.
Sure.
I saw Henry Rollins by himself.
What?
And I was too afraid to approach him.
Uh-huh.
Because if I'm by myself, because here's the thing, I would, of course, want a picture with me and Henry Rollins.
Absolutely.
But if there's only me and him, what am I going to do? Like, hold my phone at arm's length and take a picture? I don't think Henry Rollins wants to take a photo like a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, you're not on a senior trip.
Yeah. Like, let's touch cheeks and make pouty lips, Henry Rollins.
Unless.
Oh, unless he might have, though.
What if that was the one?
Yeah. And then also Mike Judge.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, that was Sunday. Yeah. Man, Saturday, I went to go see Childish Gambino.
Okay.
Which is Donald Glover's like rap act. And man, I for some reason really like that. And I say for some reason because it really is just like, hey man, I'm getting laid a lot and I'm super rich and you're not.
Right. And you've already come out on record as being anti-brag hop.
It wears on me super quick.
Sure.
Although I feel like Donald Glover is really clever about it.
Uh-huh.
And slightly offensive too, but offensive in a like a really like a funny way. I don't know if I want to give the example. It's clean, but I'm not going to. But like he would say stuff like, I'm chasing the blues away like Gargamel.
Huh.
And I was like, that's pretty funny. But then he'll be like, yeah, and your girl's on my what? And then it goes from there. But it was a really fun show. But it's weird. It's weird because that guy is his public persona.
Uh-huh.
At least, like, you know, when it comes to acting and stuff, he's like, oh, I'm Troy. I'm like a nice guy.
Right.
Or whatever. And then his rap is so, like, you know, has so much vicious swagger.
Uh-huh.
To it, you're like, whoa, geez.
I don't know if I want to meet this guy now. He seems so nice and approachable on the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Imagine if, like, Bronson Pinchot had, like, just a dirty, sleazy, like, imagine he had like a using like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you don't know the story of Bronson Pinchot.
Enlighten me.
There's a very short time when he was the drummer for the Murder Junkies.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was very short. Because he got the job on Perfect Strangers and had to quit the band. But yeah, he was a drummer for about a good 9 months.
Oh well, then there you go. There's precedent.
Former Murder Junkie.
That's
Bronson Pinchot.
He was addicted to murder, I guess. Murdering crowds with awful rock.
I had a...
How are you today, David? Sorry.
I'm fine.
Got away from it.
Oh, no. I was going to go back to Fun Fest.
Oh, sure. By all means.
Because, of course, it was fun. But I didn't... I had just the right amount of fun that I wanted to have. But I realized that I could have had more, but just didn't want it, if that makes any sense. Like Saturday night. Saturday night, Spoon was playing.
Oh, I got to go ahead.
I love Spoon.
I love Spoon, too.
Love him to death. But, I just felt like, I don't know if I want to go see them. Like, if they're playing in my backyard, I want to look out the window. That kind of feeling. But I love them.
Here's the thing. I love Spoon. I'm a huge Spoon fan. Yeah. They started playing. I could hear them. And I go, I've seen Spoon.
Yeah.
And I left, which is weird. I may need to leave this town.
Uh-huh.
Like, I may probably won't go to Portland, where Spoon lives now currently.
Yeah.
But that was a weird thing for me.
Yeah. But that happened a lot to me. Because I was really looking forward to seeing Boris on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking toward Boris, and I got to a very acceptable length to where I could hear them and enjoy them. And I just stopped, and I go, okay, let's go. And I just, you know, turned back around, and I went to Hooters, and I watched the football game.
The FFF Knights thing, where if you had a wristband, you can get in and see the Knights. That was very exciting to me.
Yeah.
And Generationals, a band I like a lot, was playing Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Did not have the energy to see them. Mm-hmm. But Sunday night, I went to go see the Royal Bangs. At Red 7, I'm crazy about the Royal Bangs. And there was not that well attended of a show.
Oh, is that right?
Which means that I got, I didn't have to like fight my way to get to the front of stage because I'm a tall guy. And usually when I cut in front of someone at a concert, they will either verbally harass me or sometimes physically bother me. It doesn't happen a whole lot. The physically bother thing, I will admit, is rare. But it has like, and it's like, oh, great, I want to see my favorite band. Now I have to get shoved in the back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I skid right up, and oh man, it melted my face off. That was great. But yeah, same thing happened. You were talking about Boris or walking up.
Boris, yeah. And the Black Lips were after that, and I didn't stick around for them, and I've never seen them.
Yeah. Oh, well, you had a good explanation of the Black Lips. You're like, you know, there's a lot of times when I could have had the opportunity to see them.
Oh, absolutely. They've played quite a bit in the past couple years in this town, and I've just always had that feeling like, if I haven't seen them by now, I maybe just don't want to see them. I'm fine with that.
But all in all, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that torqued me off most about FFFS last year, which was when I got there, there was this hour-long, or like, you know, it might have been an hour long. I had to wait in line to get
that.
In. And then when I got to the front, there's people just cutting right in front of the line.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, man, that really torques me off. Because, man, cutting is like when you see someone cut in front of you, it's especially if you've been waiting a really long time, like there's nothing that irks you off more. But when you're the one who's like sneaking into something, you never feel smarter.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm like, hey, see that long line? I just cut. And I'm like, oh, awesome. You know, good job.
Yeah.
But then it's like, this guy was cutting. It's like, oh, what a scumbag. Let's kill him.
See, I'm very opposed to cutting on both sides of it. Like, if I see
You hate line cutting and also emotional cutting?
Yes. I'm very much unlike Daryl Hammond in that sense.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm looking forward to reading his book, by the way, because that thing is a mess.
Yeah. That's a side note, but who knew that Daryl Hammond's got a book coming out? From the stuff that I read about it, that guy did not have it easy inside his own head.
No, and I don't know like where he reaches the point where it's like, I'm good enough to write a book right now. I don't know, like, because that stuff is still going on in his head. You know, I don't know if you've read about it or heard about it. I'm talking.
Oh, you mean he's not well enough?
Right, exactly. Where, you know, he suffered some trauma as a child. And he lived with it all throughout his time during SNL. He was cutting himself. He was doing like crack and meth.
What?
And stuff like that. And so, you know, that was recently. That was like as recently as 2006. And so now he's coming out with his book and it's like, shouldn't a book indicate that you're well now or on the road to recovery, but you still have like those demons?
It's like that Artie Lang book. Ugh. Where the last couple chapters are just like, you know, it's like, these aren't chapters for the book. It's like, oh, that was my will. I hastily wrote down on a napkin. By the way, Lance Gilstrap tweeted at us, and yes. He says, I saw it alone, you abandoneers.
Oh, I didn't want that to happen, but also, who cares? Who cares if you saw it alone?
Yeah, you could have. I wish I had the time to go see a movie alone today.
Yeah, cheapers. In fact,
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Edward G. Robinson. I was gonna. Yeah.
I had words, but I didn't want to use them on the radio.
Speaking of music and weird things, ACL Live.
Yes. Moody Gardens.
Thank you. Moody Theater.
Moody Theater.
That's in the W Hotel, right?
I think so.
Yes. They have some weird lineups coming up. I don't mean lineups in like, you know, it's Alice Cooper opening for Phoenix, Texas. You know, something like that.
That's Phoenix, Texas.
I don't know how that's weird. That was a weird pull, I'll admit. That was weird. Like the Henry Rollins spoken word tour introducing Shadaisy. You know, it's not that. But on
Shadaisy. Yes,
I don't know where it's coming from today.
Seriously.
I did some mental improv warm-ups at a time.
Pretty great.
So Rodney Carrington.
Okay.
Comedian, yes. Rodney Carrington. Carrington. Let's see how long I can say that until it stops making sense as a word. Carrington. Nope, not good radio. Not good radio. So Rodney Carrington, and then the next night at the same theater, Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. You cannot get a hold on that theater.
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully, I don't know if they do this, but hopefully they have a marquee. It's like, Friday night, Rodney Carrington. Saturday night, Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
That's always great to see the marquees for like weeks in advance, especially when you see like alt comics touring.
Yeah.
And it would be like, Saturday, Brian Posehn. Sunday, Semisonic. Like, oh, that poor guy.
Why is that a poor guy?
Semisonic.
Because he misses Semisonic, he's not going to get to see him?
Exactly. He's got to be back on the road.
Yeah. D&D, now they leave us alone, right? Everyone's got Feeling Strangely Fine.
Do you remember?
Wait, that's not... Is that album?
I don't know. I was trying to remember the other hit that they had, and that's not it.
Did they have another hit?
They had another song that was prominent on the radio.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I really liked that album when it came out, though. I know. Weird.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm a kid listening to the slow, lame rock in my room. Night of a Thousand Voices. Oh, sing it, Dan, whatever your last name is.
The only 14-year-old who just broke up with his fiance.
Watching Picture Perfect with Jennifer Aniston. Crying my goddamn eyes out.
All reference radio today. I like it.
Yep. But yeah, if they do have a marquee and you're a listener to the show and you take a picture of it, I will. And send it to us. We will be appreciative.
Yes.
I don't know when that is. Hopefully we haven't missed it already.
We'll figure
it out. Do your research, callers.
Well, and also, like, they'll come around with another show of that, or another two shows of that caliber. I'm certain of it.
I could check right now. Maybe they already have.
Let's go to the concert calendar.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Hey, we should take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay. Let us take a break. Hey, I'm going to play a song that I heard at a show at Cold Town.
Oh.
This happens, I feel like, frequently to me, where I'm like, hey, I like that song. And like, which song? And I was like, I don't know the name of the artist, or I would have already, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And then I try to sing a little bit of it, and I am the worst at reproducing music for some reason. Like, I will hear the song after I, like, eventually track it down, and I'm like, yeah, I was singing that. So I haven't learned from my mistakes. There's a band, Edward Sharp or whatever.
Yes.
And they had that song, Home.
Yeah.
Which I did not know was a song, but I would hear it at my International Tomato on someone's Pandora. Mm. And I hear it, and I'd be like, hey, what's that song? It's like, and they're like, nope, no, good luck.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, and then someone was like whistling, and I was like, wait, where were you whistling? But this is another song where it took me a while, several descriptions of it, to get it. It is Q&A by Office off of A Night at the Ritz. More Mascot Wedding Show coming up real soon.
And we're back on the Mascot Wedding Show. We just heard The Office. The Office, I'm sure. Anyway, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone call. Turn that down. Turn this on. Turn this up. KOP, you're on the air.
How dare you? How dare you?
Hello, caller. Hello?
Yeah, this is the host of the Mascot Wedding Show.
Yeah, this is the Mascot Wedding Show. Who's this?
You know who this is.
I'm sorry. I'm at a loss right now.
It's the man whose life you destroyed.
You're going to have to be more specific.
I called in 2 weeks ago. Talking about Luther.
Yeah, Luther. Right. You're with the you're a paver in Sunken Valley, right?
I was a paver.
Oh my God! What happened?
Now I'm just in the hospital.
You're in the hospital. What happened? How'd you get in the hospital?
Well, I told you that pavers, they take Halloween very seriously.
Right.
And I was going to go as the starring five of the 1992 Dream Team.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to be like a weird, like, Voltron-type Dream Team.
Yeah, where Jordan was my torso and head.
Uh-huh.
Where my head was coming out of his mouth. And, you know, Robinson. I got the starting five wrong.
You got the starting five wrong? How'd you get it wrong?
Well, I said it was
Stockton? Jordan?
No.
What?
I said it was Robinson, and it wasn't. It was Patrick Ewing.
Oh. So Ewing was the starter on the Dream Team?
Yeah. I know.
Well, that's no big deal. I mean, that shouldn't be, you know.
It should be, though, why they don't need scoring in the center. They just need rebounding and defense.
Well, that's not what I meant. I'm talking about the Halloween costume.
Well, I told you, pavers, they take things very seriously.
Yeah.
And Robinson was one of my legs.
Uh-huh.
And so they took me in the back room and they paved over it.
Oh, my God. They paved over your leg?
They covered my leg in hot gravel.
So, wow, that's awful. Are you okay?
Well, the doctor say I'll be able to walk again pretty soon.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I should be able to run, but the image of David Robinson in the Dream Team uniform is going to be forever burned into my leg.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll always look like David Robinson.
Well, but, you know, at least you have that, I guess.
Why didn't you tell me?
I was just as clueless as you were. I thought
you monster.
I thought he was the starting center.
I'll get my revenge.
Well, no, you don't have to get your revenge. We're fine. We can work this out.
I'm going to become a private paver.
Okay, well, that's not really I don't get
it. I'm going to pave over you.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so you're gonna pave over me.
Yeah, and then I'm going to bury you in a coffin, in a grave, and no one's going to know where it is.
Well, why not?
Because I'm only going to mark it with a number 5.
Number 5, I don't get it. Why?
5 was Robinson's jersey number.
Oh, of course, on the Dream Team. Yeah, they...
Dream Team.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry. I really don't know what else to tell you, though.
You're going down.
No, please don't pave over me.
You're getting paved.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll wait and see. Hello? Hello? Okay, well, I guess he's either on his way to pave me, or he's plotting my imminent paving. But that was Luther from a couple weeks ago. I got to plead ignorance. I thought David Robinson was the starting center for the Dream Team. He seemed like a more athletic... It's what they needed. They needed someone down low to just be a finesse center.
I knew it was Ewing.
Why didn't you say anything?
I was tending to some business.
For crying out loud, you need to be in here at all times.
There was some radio business outside. I had to tend to it.
Well, radio business is serious business.
It's super serious business.
That's what the motto of co-op is.
Man, we were doing a night show.
Yeah.
Because of daylight savings time.
Uh-huh.
Night show. Weird night show energy.
It feels bizarre. We should turn the lights down low and just take, like, the seediest of callers. Like, let's just accept. We'll run over Clear Spot. We'll make this a 2-hour show, and we'll just take, like, people's darkest secrets.
No.
I don't want to hear that. And then at the end, on the way...
I don't want their secrets weighing down my soul.
Well, on the way to our parking lot, we could get gunned down, like, at the end of talk radio. Spoiler alert.
What?
Sorry.
Yeah. I was just about to watch it on Netflix.
I was 3 movies away on my queue.
Which, by the way, all my complaining about Netflix, I've had the same movie now for a couple months.
I've had all 3 for a couple months. I've just been that busy / I'm not in the mood for this. I'm not going to watch it.
I'm going to have to just bite the bullet and admit to myself that I might just have to, I don't know what mood it's going to take me to be in to watch Salesman by the Sales Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Or Males Brothers.
Oh, that's a good, Males.
Males,
that's
yes.
A good one, though.
Yeah, it is, but I'm just never in the mood.
Yeah, that happens where you'll watch it after the fact and you'll be like, man, that was really great, but I didn't care to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that where it's like, I don't think I'm in the mood for this. Oh, yeah, Time Crimes for some reason. I don't know why. I had that forever and I saw it and it was great. Capturing the Freedmans.
Oh, man,
yeah, yes. I think it was a little dark, which is why I was like, I don't want to get bummed out.
I was that way about Primer because I had heard so much about it that I felt like it was homework after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched it and it was great.
Who's in Primer?
It was a bunch of nobodies. It was made on a micro budget.
What's it about?
It's about time travel. Not time travel. It's about, time travel. It's about transporting yourself into other realities.
Speaking of movies,
yeah.
I was thinking this week it's weird that, what is that? Someone calling me?
You're right there?
Yeah, I heard a little feedback in my oh, I bet. I just, there it is again.
Are you picking it up off the pad?
No, I don't get it off the pad. Maybe it's my phone.
I'm hearing.
You're hearing nothing?
Crystal clear.
Okay, it's probably one of those Final Destination moments where I just envisioned our death.
Unless it's me. Did a ghost walk through your body?
Oh, is that what happens in those movies? Never seen them.
I don't know.
These movies, these Marvel comic book movies.
Yes, yes.
Or comic book movies in general are like super big right now. Superhero comics, for the most part. I mean, I think there's... Cowboys and Alien was a comic, but...
Right.
I didn't see that movie or read that comic. I feel like that comic was just created to sell a movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, like superhero movies like Iron Man and like Dark Knight and everything. The comic books are just like content factories now for Hollywood, and these properties are like super popular. And now like people that, you know, did not care at all about comic books are now like super like, you know, into these people.
Yeah.
You get some bro guys who are like, yo, what's up? Yo, I picked up a lady last night. I'm like, Tony Stark. And I was like, oh, you cool. You like Tony Stark? You like Iron Man? You know, it's like, shut up, nerd. Boom. Like, oh, God. I just dropped the hammer on you like Thor does.
You're inconsistent.
Thor, you like Thor? You like it when he fought the dragon, Fin Fang Foom? Shut up, dork. Boom. Hey, I heard in Thor 2 there might be a dragon. That's sick, kid. And then it's like, why don't you like these things? It's the same stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, this one's got real people in it, like real Tony Stark. But he's not. He's just an actor playing it. Someone else you would beat up. I'm in the drama club. Shut up, dork. Boom. Someday I'll play a millionaire. Oh, cool. Badass, bro. And it's like, why don't... Look, here's the same story. on the comics and the movie. Why is this bad? Oh, because look at that. In movies, the pictures move and the words are said out loud so my ear can hear them. In the comics, I gotta like see the pictures and make them move in my head, and I gotta read the words and so hear them inside my brain. I might as well like marry a guy and have my dad call me princess and shop for clothes for a small dog. Like, I might as well just let me read the boy. Yeah. Why is that, David?
Oh, why is that? Well, I think people, I think you went in a different direction with it, but I think people still bristle at the notion of like, I'm an adult. I'm not going to read cartoons. Like, they just see drawings and they equate it with like Archie comics or something like that. But people go to the movies all the time and they watch junk all the time. So they're like, yeah, this is for me. Finally, they know what I like. And it's like, well, you know, this Iron Man, there's, if you like this movie, there are 40 years of adventures in these little books that you can carry around, roll them up in your pocket, and swat dogs with them. Like, no, I don't got time for that. You don't have time for 22 pages? Ah, that's for Fs.
Hey, it's Halloween. I'm going to go dressed up like Captain America. I'm going to get all kinds of hot tail. But if a guy comes up and he knows anything about my costume, I'm going to beat him to death with this shield. Well, that shield was made by Dr. Reisenstein. They changed the name later to Dr. Erskine because it was enough. Wham. Although, if you are, you know what, though? If you give unwanted facts about anything just to show off, you deserve to get hit with a plastic Halloween shield.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think of other avenues of life where that happens. Because, yeah, you're spot on. This thing that is very segmented and has its, you know, rabid fan base goes mainstream in one form or another. And then these people like it for the reasons that you didn't like it previously. I don't know. It's weird. I guess it's sort of like the way you'd see Ramon's shirts at Hot Topic. And you're like, oh, hey, what's your favorite record? And it's like, I don't know. It's like the shirt.
It is a cool shirt.
It is. Oh, it's a great shirt. That's one of the all-time logos. You kidding me with that?
See, I'm usually just happy now that other people know about this stuff. Because it gives stuff like I was just talking about just now. People would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, Iron Man. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, of course I know what you're talking about.
No, I don't like it. And Patton Oswalt wrote an article about this in Wired a few months ago, and I think we talked about it on the radio show.
Did we now?
Perhaps we did. But just the availability of everything is killing the idea of the nerd or just the specific geek, that sort of thing. And that's a bad thing because everybody, like, there's no uniqueness. Like, the way you or I read comic books, or the way I collected baseball cards, that sort of thing, or just acquired information, read sci-fi books, these things that people didn't want to have. Well, now, once they come around and decide, oh, I want to have this, they can just, it's instantly at their fingertips, and they can catch up to you in terms of knowledge and information, and that completely negates all the time and effort and passion that you put into the thing.
You know, it's if you want me to bum out the show for a second.
Here we go.
When I was a kid, I always seemed to read comics. Like, my dad would read me the Sunday Funnies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd have, like, Archie comics around the house. And when I was a kid, I would, like, still read, like, G.I. Joe and Transformers and Ninja Turtles. Like, basically whatever comic I, you know, whatever toy I liked at the time, whenever I had a comic book. And then in fourth grade, somebody brought these trading cards in, and there were these Marvel superheroes trading cards. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, look at them, and on the back they would have, like, their origin, their enemies, like their power levels, like how many tons they can lift.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The first comic appearance and a fun fact. And it was like, all of a sudden, I didn't have to read 30 years of comics or whatever. I got everything I wanted on these little cards. And it's like, I was an expert in this entire storytelling universe. It didn't have to, like, I could pick up any comic now and like, oh, I know these characters.
Right.
And so I started, you know, reading Spider-Man and other kind of stuff. And then I was living in Virginia at the time, and there was a Crown Books.
Mm-hmm.
Which the K and the S were always, or the K was always burned out, so it was Crown Booze, which I always thought was more funny than it was. Like, yeah. Oh, it's like they sell liquor, you know, which it wasn't. It's more like, hey, Crown Boo, your store sucks. But in the back, they had this giant book. It was like a coffee table book. It was a foot long or foot tall, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Marvel, Five Fabulous Decades of the World's Greatest Comics. And it was like this giant book, and I saw it, and I was like, wow. And I was like a little kid, and inside was like the complete history of Marvel Comics and creators, stuff that you don't have. There's no internet back then, so I couldn't just be like, Marvel Comics, Wikipedia, Reddit, know everything.
Right.
And this book was like amazing and like lovingly crafted. Like, if you take off the cover on the actual book itself, was like an imprint of Spider-Man's face. And, you know, it had a lot of illustrations. It had some classic stories in the back, including something that had never been reprinted. And I was just like, I didn't know this. There's this amazing book about all this stuff. And I feel like I read that thing like twice. When, oh, and it was like $45 at the time, which mm-hmm. like was way more money than a, you know, kid like me could afford, like a $2 allowance. And so I even like put up jars around my house that said like, buy a boy a book, and like mason jars. But my parents aren't idiots. So they're like, oh, look, I guess it's the collecting for a charity right inside our own home. So they didn't put any money in it, obviously. But they, birthday or Christmas, whatever came next. Right. And this book was there. And I, you know, I read it and I loved it. And the author of that book died this week.
Oh.
Les Daniels. He did another one for DC and he wrote other comic scholar stuff. And you know, now it, the internet, like it's got everything on there. Like you could type up, like, you know, you could download every story that's in the back. You could just, you know, get wherever. But back then, I mean, this information was not available anywhere else unless yeah. like I'm, you know, a newspaper reporter
right.
or like an insider. And so to give like this little kid, like, you know, which is me, for a kid to see something you did and go like, oh my God, wow. Like just completely blown away. I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
That was amazing to me, and I was sad to hear that dude died.
That's a shame.
So, thoughts to his family?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys who like fun listening to the radio
no,
show.
No, no, that's a very, that was a very sweet story. Good for you.
Mm, it was like Polynesian sauce.
And now you've ruined it.
I purposely wanted to ruin it.
But going back to the original thread that we started on, I was having a conversation, or a conversation was being had to me the other day about how I don't like trivia. Like, I don't like, you know, going to trivia at bars, that sort of thing. And someone was like incredulous. They were like, come on, everybody loves trivia. Why don't you love going to trivia bars? Well, I don't, because I feel like we're all there now. Like, it's not, you're not really showing off in a way that, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was like, hey, look at how much I know. That's really impressive. Now, it's just, you can acquire this knowledge so quickly. It's almost like a trivia contest or like eating contest. It's like, how much can I stuff into me at the right time and then go to this trivia thing and just happen to know all the answers? Like, there's nothing impressive about it anymore.
So at trivia nowadays, when you, I haven't done bar trivia in a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Do they make you turn off your phones or something?
Yes.
Do they enforce that?
Well, I don't know if they enforce it. They tell you, and it's sort of, you know, they do the eyeball test. If they catch you on it, then yeah. But there's no real way of enforcing it. Because I happened to stumble upon trivia the other day. I was hanging out with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we walked in and was like, oh, the first question is. And of course, he was like, let's show these guys who's boss. And we got our heads handed to us. Because I don't know the crap that they know. I just don't. I got a job. I'm sorry.
What if the story was that you were like blew them away? Would the story be different?
No.
Would you be like, I don't like trivia. Too easy.
Perhaps. But I doubt it. It's a silly pursuit. Not like Trivial Pursuit, which I dominate as.
Oh my gosh. We did finally play Trivial Pursuit 90s edition one time. And it wasn't like a boat race, because Trivial Pursuit, it just takes you a while to land on the right spots.
Right.
But you would go on runs where it'd be like, oh my God. Like, what's the name of OJ's? Bep, bep, stop you right there. Like, Paula Barbieri or whatever. Like, it's like, what? The only reason I have that name still in my brain is because you knew it so fast.
Yeah, that's right.
I was a little stunned. I was like, geez, this guy, he was alive then. Eyes wide open.
That's right. I was like, I was processing stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, but speaking of Johnny Mnemonic, also a Rollins film.
Oh.
Yep.
Celebrating the catalog.
Yes. And also, I remember like wanting to see it when it came out, and then I think there was a super smart dolphin in it.
Is that true?
I think so. And then it was on TV one day. I was like, oh, Johnny Mnemonic, I finally get to check this out. Besides being awful and ridiculous, the plot of that movie is that he's holding some information in his brain.
Yes.
Like couriers in the future and spies.
Uh-huh.
They download information to hard drives in their brains.
Ugh.
And so to get this information, they have to kill Johnny Mnemonic. But he's got guns. Johnny Mnemonic in theaters, whatever. But the amount of like, he's like, I got like 5 gigs in my brain. I was like, really? Because I could just put that on a little zip drive and put it in my pocket.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's not impressive.
I can hold up to 40 records.
If you are in the future... If you're making a movie set in the future, overestimate.
Exactly. Really blow us away.
Because nerds like us, when that year hits, like 2037, if we're not in a water world with mutants, I'll be like, oh, people didn't mutate? Well, you screwed up, water world.
Yeah. I can already tell you, as a fact, that when 1997 rolled around and nobody was escaping from New York, I was furious. That was supposed to have happened.
You wrote a letter. Dear John Carpenter, I went to New York the other day. It was cleaner than ever.
It was beautiful.
It was not seated to gangs.
I went to a Sbarro. It was delightful.
There was a Disney store in Times Square. No one was showing anyone the finger of anything to prove whatever. That's a good movie, though.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? John Carpenter, he had a really good run.
Speaking of had a good run, excuse me for a second, Dave. Oh, sure. Can you hand me my open letter typewriter?
Oh, please. Here you go.
No, I wish we had some sound effects. Dear TNT in the 90s, thanks for showing all these great movies like, what was that thing we said?
Escape from New York.
Escape from New York. It was super fun. It's also the first place I saw the thing, even though it was heavily edited. Love, Mac Blake.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're doing.
Could you mail that out there?
I sure can. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'll do it. I'll mail it out Mission Impossible style. I'll email it, and then you'll see the envelope close, and then go into the space.
I was reading some interview with a guy who designs graphics like that for movies. Uh-huh. Like, if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a scene in Mission Impossible, the first one with Tom Cruise. Not the second one with also Tom Cruise? That was a bad...
Well...
Anyway.
We understood what you're saying.
The Brian De Palma thriller.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, I'm going to send an email. And back then, I think when I saw this movie when I was a kid, I did not know what he was like, email, or if you say so.
Right.
And to make it dumb it down for people like me, he like sent, and then there was like an animation of like a letter... Like appearing on the screen and like disappearing. Uh-huh. I think even it had like a little like a dust trail behind
it. Yeah, I think it did too.
Yeah. It's kind of like in Independence Day when he like sends the virus and they're like, oh, we got to make sure the people at home understand there's a virus. So we put that laughing skull.
Yeah, the Jolly Rogers
which
laughing.
Which sounded like what?
It was like, yeah.
And that guy was, I interviewed the guy who does stuff like that, who did that Independence Day one. Uh-huh. He was so defensive right from the get go. If you answer a first question interview with, look, then you know you've gotten that question before.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, how are you dealing with this? Oh, well, you know, it's been tough. So what goes into your your thought process when you make this stuff? Look, okay? I'm just trying to get the idea across in as small a space and as quickly as possible. Did you understand that things were going bad and it had been said? Shut up!
That movie made $400 million. Shut up!
At that point, I would have been like, I'm surprised you're asking me this in front of my huge piles of graphic designer cash.
Yeah, exactly. My bank account is in the low five figures.
I'm sure he makes a nice living.
Oh, I'm sure he does. But I'm presupposing that he blew it. So he didn't save it.
Oh,
yeah.
Try to be a big man at local Shoney's, huh?
Man!
What are you ordering there, miss? Excuse me? I was just... Ordering it in. Here, you be that lady. Hey, what were you ordering there, miss?
I was just going to order a shake or something.
Not anymore, you're not. What? Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in this Shoney's can have all they can eat.
Oh, my God. Thank you, graphic designer.
Sir, I'm the manager. That's not how we do things here at Shoney's. You listen to me, Pipsqueak. Give me a pencil neck.
Carrying your hat on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Is that really the time?
Yes.
This show has flown by.
It has gone by.
And we had nothing. We had zero to talk about.
I think it's one of the things we had too much to talk about, couldn't choose.
Yeah,
it's like you walk into a restaurant and it's empty. Where do you sit? I don't want to make that decision. I want my seat assigned.
I think you're going to go somewhere else with that. I think you're going to talk about like food choices where you go like a James John's.
Oh, my God.
And there's so many delicious sandwich choices that you just decide to go to which instead. And then have the worst problem.
Which is the worst? Well, here's the thing. If there was a restaurant called James John's, I would already know what sandwich I was going to get the number one. Of course, because I've been going to James John's for years.
Yes.
However, there are places like, oh my gosh. I don't know if you've ever eaten at this place. If you haven't, you're not missing out at all. Mm-hmm. Cheesecake Factory?
I ate there the night before prom.
Cheesecake Factory has got a menu that's like an inch thick.
Yes. It's a yearbook.
Yeah, and it's got like national ads in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember I had one for like Pop Portraits, and it was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you'd like order these, which had to be like Cheesecake Factory's brother or something, because it's like they were sort of, what's the name? They were kind of, you know Robert Palmer?
Oh, yeah.
Personally. Okay, but he had those videos that were, I'll look this up.
Like?
They were inspired by some artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the Simply Irresistible, the Addicted to Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ladies in there were inspired by the drawings and paintings of the guy who did like the Duran Duran covers.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a second.
Yes.
But yeah, and so it's like portraits of that, but of like celebrities, like Prince and like Marilyn Monroe. But they aren't even that good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which Patrick Nagel.
Patrick Nagel. Okay.
Patrick Nagel. So it looks like Patrick Nagel's kind of stuff, but of like, it looks like someone discovered the, whatever that thing is in Illustrator when you can just trace over something, live trace.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but they're not that great. Anyway, this menu is like super big and you're like, what is the, what? Like, you know, it's going to take me 30 minutes to decide what to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when you go to Whole Foods and it's hard to order because of all the attractive ladies there.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, exactly. True. Just like. Yeah. Just like. Hey,
Nothing. It's not even important.
I was going to say we should probably wrap it up.
We absolutely should.
Because we got a little bit of business to take care of at the end.
Yeah, we do. But let's take care of this business right now. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @mascotwedding.
Yep, that is it.
That is all. Should I close out?
Yes, please do.
All right, where's my thing?
I threw it out the window. Did you need it?
What did I do with it?
It's stuck in my jacket.
What a weird show. We're going to go out with some Unknown Mortal Orchestra from their self-titled album.
Some what?
Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Okay.
We're going to go out with some UMO. And we're going with How Can You Love Me? We'll be back next week. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin.